I was in college. Carol Marsh, then Carol Rosenberg, remembers. I was 21. I thought I was using protection. I had a boyfriend then, and I got pregnant. And there must have been a hole in the diaphragm or something like that. But anyway, I immediately felt desperate, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, I knew that I had to end the pregnancy, that there was no way. I was 21, but I was a very young 21, and there was no way I could raise a child. And to go through a pregnancy and then give it up for adoption? I would have to leave school. It seemed so cruel. And I didn't feel like I could go to my parents. I thought my father would have a heart attack and die, and my mother would freak out. It was 1966. Marsh, a student at Adelphi University, didn't know where to turn. Her best friend from high school was Karen Stamm, who'd had a legal abortion 3 years earlier. But Marsh couldn't do what her friend had done. She asked her doctor about qualifying for a so-called therapeutic abortion, granted on grounds of danger to a pregnant person's health, including, sometimes, their mental health. And he said they're not very favorable toward it right now, and by the time, if it did get approved, it would be too late. Stamm asked people she knew at City College and found a dermatologist in New York City who would do the procedure for her friend. Marsh borrowed money and had the abortion without anesthesia, twice, since the doctor was not particularly skilled and didn't succeed the first time. And so it was about a couple of days later I started just gushing, and it just didn't stop, and I was really terrified. So I called Karen, and she said, "You have to come to the emergency room with me." And like an idiot, she said to her mother, "I have to go take Carol to the emergency room." And so her mother, no dummy, calls my parents. Marsh needed a dilation and curettage, or DNC, to clean out an infection that had developed in her womb. She spent 2 nights in the hospital with what she remembers as hostile care from nurses who disapproved of what she had done. And the resident came in and asked me to give him the name of the doctor, and I refused. Her parents, secular Jews who had no particular religious or philosophical objections to abortion, nonetheless reacted badly to the incontrovertible evidence that their daughter was sexually active. Marsh recalls her mother walking into the bathroom while I was taking a bath, and she said to me, "How do you decide who you sleep with?" Later, when Marsh was ready to return to college, her father drove me back out to school, and he said, "You broke my heart." So between the two of them, you can see why I didn't tell them. Carol Marsh's experience with the dermatologist happened the same year the New York State Legislature held its first hearings in 80 years to consider a major reform to its law criminalizing abortion. The hearing was called to consider an abortion law reform bill introduced by Harlem Democratic Assemblyman Percy Sutton. Sutton's bill marked the start of the most successful legislative campaign in the country, pre-Roe v. Wade, to change the law so that no one would ever again have to go through what Marsh went through. The criminal abortion laws produced despair and death for decades before the Sutton bill, and a small number of similar bills in other states, started changing public policy. Why then and not earlier or later? Credit is owed, first of all, to Carol Marsh and thousands like her. They took enormous risks to end their pregnancies despite the fact that most abortions were illegal. They faced the stigma that surrounded both abortion and female sexuality, especially the sexuality of unmarried women. Unorganized but unstoppable, they engaged in a kind of grassroots mass action that forced powerful people and institutions to change. By persistently showing up in doctors' offices, asking for help, and taking themselves to hospital emergency rooms demanding medical intervention, pregnant people forced healthcare professionals to deal with the consequences of the laws that governed abortion access. The cynical and often hypocritical system of enforcement had turned doctors, often unhappily, into legal informants and made them vulnerable to prosecution for performing or recommending abortion. This produced a crackdown on access to therapeutic abortion between Karen Stamm's in 1963 and Carol Marsh being denied one 3 years later. And it produced the bizarre scene in which a medical resident, who was trained to attend to Marsh's health, asked her to give up her abortionist for criminal prosecution.